So how many in this service was up before daylight? Oh, so I have a couple. Did you see the moon? It's beautiful, stunning, overwhelming. Did you see the sunrise? Yeah, it was gorgeous, but it was cold. It was very cold, and there were several years ago when I was, I think it was sixth grade. Yes, I can remember back sixth grade. You know, I'm not that old. But I think the weather kind of reminded me of this. And I was part of Boy Scouts, and one of the things that you had to do is to get these badges is you had to participate in this polar event. So you were to go out, and you were to put on your snow gear, and you were to prove that you could make it in the cold, whether it was to start fires, get directions, and you know, and at that point in time, we actually had snow that actually was up to your waist. It was awful. We went up to this Boy Scout camp up north by Blue Lake, where their headquarters is, and they kind of set you free, and they give you a compass. I'm like, what's a compass, right? For most of you, it's a little thing that has it's magnetic and it always points north and it has numbers on it and you can actually get directions from it and you have to find things. And so we'd have to go through and find things. We didn't have GPS, we didn't have smartphones. And so you had to go through and you'd get food from one place and then you'd get fire stuff for another place. And so they you'd kind of go around. This is how you could prove that you could make it in the extreme weathers. And it was kind of unique and fun for 2 days, but we had those lovely snow boots that you used to have to put the Wonder Bread, the little things inside of to keep your feet dry, and you had those nice kind of, I don't know what that material is that they made those out of, the snow suits that were like the one piece that if you got a little bit of a spark on them, they like kind of melted instantly, so really safe for around fires. But that was my favorite part, was to actually start the fire and get the warmth. And so we made it through that day, we got our 2 days, and we got an award, and then they took us out to kind of celebrate, and they took us to this college, and it was like a big pool, Olympic-sized pool with two springboards, kind of like a middle platform, and then they had the high dive platform, which you know scared me to death because it was like up in the rafters. I liked the kind of shallow end of the pool; it was very safe in that end of the pool. Or I liked the hot tub where I could just kind of get down in it and it's hot and I could stand up. But for a while we kind of would dunk each other, throw each other, do all that stuff that kids do, and then my friends were watching everybody else go up and down these diving boards, and I've really not been on a diving board. I know, believe it or not, those weren't around all the time. And these diving boards were springboards, which I've never really experienced. And so that my friends like, let's go jump on off of those, and I'm like, nah, shallow end. Let me stay over here. This is safe. This is comfortable. So I worked up to courage, and they wanted to go right to the high one. So I kind of bypassed and kind of snuck out of their group, and they went up, and I went on the springboard. I'm thinking, watch the kid in front of me. They bounce and they fly. Well, I go out there, I bounce, and that thing like shoots you up. I'm like going, freaking out, going, okay, I'm not going head first. I'm doing a cannonball. So I just did this big cannonball. So I'm sure it was wonderful. And so after a while, I got used to that. And I went to the next springboard because I thought, I'm getting brave. And then I jumped in, and my friends noticed that I wasn't going on the high dive. And then they started kind of coming up and going, bark, 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 bark. You know how the kids do that peer pressure. And so I succumbed to the peer pressure. But as on our way up, I stop at the lower platform because I saw this kid like kind of launch himself off the upper one. And he kind of did like this face first belly flop. And just came up crying, and I'm like going, I don't want to cry, I don't want to die either. So I get to the lower level, and I'm like going, man, this is kind of scary, but okay, you can do it, jump off and go down cannonball, because there's no way I'm going head first, right? And then finally my friends, they noticed again that I wasn't going to the highest one. And so, again, we got the chicken moves and all that stuff and name-calling. And I guess, they would call it bowling now, but we just kind of got used to it, I guess. We just did it. And we walked up and got to that high one. And I'm just, all I can picture is this kid going face first. And I'm like, that's going to be me. And I walk up to the edge, and I am petrified. They're like, jump, 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 jump. And I'm like, I kind of slowly do this and find the railing. And like, go ahead, just go, so I'm getting everybody, because I don't want to go. And then finally I got this college-age person was next to me, and they kind of talked me into it and said, you'll be okay, keep your legs together, just jump. And of course he said, don't do a cannonball because it'll hurt your butt and your thighs. And I'm like, and so I said, okay, I can do this. So he jump, and I do that, and of course I go all the way down to the bottom of the pool, to the deep end where you can actually hit your feet on the bottom and come up, and I'm like, that was awesome, you know. So and I did it over and over and over. And but the problem is, this kind of comes to mind, is that in our faith and our walk, is a lot of us are very comfortable at the shallow end of the pool, aren't we? We really don't want to go to the deep end where God is calling us to, because in the deep end there's an unknown. In the deep end, there's wonders and mysteries that are far beyond our comprehension that He has for us. But we like to remain in that shallow end. And I really believe this is what God is doing. He's calling us to go to the deep end of the pool, so we can see some of His glorious riches unfold in this world before us. But that takes risk. That takes courage. That takes going, I trust You, in spite of what I'm used to. I'm used to, God, You working this way. Here's my boundaries, and this is what we keep doing, and this is why we're not seeing the full impact of the Holy Spirit, is we set these boundaries on God and go, you can work from here to here, and actually, I like to put you in a box, because I really want to be in control. And you can't do anything outside of that, God. You know what God is going? He says, I have something that is so wonderful for you. Remove the boundaries. Let me work. Let me do what I know is best for you. Let me reveal to you in the deep end, if you're willing to go to the deep end, let me show you who I am. Let me show you what it means to walk in the Spirit and live by the Spirit and have complete confidence that you are in me. But you have to do this. You have to surrender. You have to give up how you perceive God and what you think He can and cannot do. And it may be West Michigan, just because I live here, we have God in such a, it's not even a box. It's like a little teeny tiny container that's so small you can't even see the Spirit. It's like we push the Spirit out and God's like going, no, go in the deep end. Because I have some wonders there and some mystery that I want to show you. And he says, you got to desire that in your heart of hearts. And what I believe is God wants to move and do incredible things at Gaines through you. Now, Graham told me a story, and I told him I was going to make fun of him, and he was okay with it. So it's all British approved, right? Graham came up to me about 2 Sundays ago, and I could tell he was uncomfortable. And Graham's not normally uncomfortable. Graham came up to me, and he was stumbling over some words, and they were just normal words, and him and I have great conversations, and I'm like, okay, Graham, what's up? You know, because you could tell he was afraid to talk to me about what God was doing, and he goes, I don't want you to think I'm weird. Well, I already know you're weird, Graham, right? So we're good there. And so he said, you know, I've been kind of opening up my Bible, and I've been really just kind of exploring the Spirit of God, trying to understand and wanting to hear from God. And he said, I took a walk on Sunday morning, and I'm going, God, I just want to hear from You. Come on, God, I just want to hear from You. I just want to hear from You. And he's like, to his disappointment, he takes a walk, and like, nothing. But then he gets inside the house. And he said this is like, he believed it was a word of encouragement for me. And he said, this is what most people are doing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Picture a wall, and they're just kind of taking a finger and just scraping a little bit. They want to see what He's like, because it's really, the wall is kind of like a piece of glass with paint on it. And they want to see a little bit, but he says, what you're asking the people to do is to reach in and just claw and to go deeper and deeper in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like going, Graham, why wouldn't you tell me that? That's a word of encouragement. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives words of encouragement to people to pass on to one another. I mean, Graham doesn't realize it, but it built me up. It helped me go, okay, God, I am walking where You want me to walk right now. Because I've been telling you that we need to be led by the Spirit, and we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And there's moments that I have doubt, like going, okay, is this what You really want, God, or not? Or God, are they even hearing? And then all of a sudden, Graham pops up and goes, I heard from God. And it was for you. I mean, that's what God is doing. That's what God wants to do. And I really believe that He wants us to understand that He wants to speak to us. And He wants to use us, but we got to do something. Our whole heart going, I desire you. Above all things in this world, I just want to hear a word from you. And Graham, if you're not high in the Holy Spirit by that moment, what I mean by that is that you're excited, on fire, you should be. Because it's awesome when God speaks to you. And you get a word to build people up. See, when I'm talking about following the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about weird things. I'm not talking about people running around here, running into walls, jumping up and down. I'm talking about the genuine movement of the Holy Spirit where we get to see the wonderful, glorious things that God has in store for this life, for us, in this church. And I believe He's unfolding it. And several years ago, when I was a youth pastor here, we went to Wisconsin. And this just keeps coming back to my mind. And we went to Wisconsin. What's in Wisconsin? Cows. Really boring scenery. So the kids are like, oh, we're going to Wisconsin. We had 38 kids, and we had, I think, five or six adults. So there's 40-some people. We had a big 48-passenger bus. And what they didn't know, the kids didn't know, and the adults that were going, they didn't know that I didn't have enough money to actually go on the trip. I was about $2,000 short. And I'm going, oh, God, these kids that want to go, I can't say no to them because they don't have the resources. I don't know what to do. And, you know, we brought it to the church, and the church, you know, gave some money, but we're still short. And I'm like going, $2,000, okay, I guess, God, that's coming when we get back. If we're short, I guess that's coming out of my own pocket. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I'm going to trust. And so we get on this bus, and we drive for 14 hours, and we get to this hotel. And as we get to this hotel, I felt like God was, you know, wanted us to meet and talk, and I had a message kind of prepared for the kids, and I felt like God said, throw that away. That's not what they need right now. We got in this room, which the hotel was wonderful, they gave us, and I asked Steve to start playing Spirit of the Living God kind of in another song, kind of just on his guitar, not singing. I didn't ask him to sing, because I won't ask him to do that. And he's just kind of playing as I'm talking, and I'm just talking with the kids about God moving, and God, because they want to hear from God. They wanted to see God move. They wanted to know that He's real and that He's tangible and that He's still active and alive. And I'm going, okay, God, show us how to do this. How can they see God? And you know, so I'm going, okay, God, what do I teach them? And then the scripture came forward, and it was out of Joshua. And if you remember Joshua, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And they're getting ready to take a huge step of faith. Because they had a river that was raging in front of them. And they had Jericho, a city with walls that they said that were undestroyable. Nobody could get in there. Nobody could defeat them. And they had armies and that were trained warriors. And it's just like, so I kind of like going, oh, I can see the fear in them. You can see them going, okay, I got to put my whole trust in God. But Joshua did something that was so important. And we did this with the kids. I read this scripture. And it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And so what I did is I asked the kids just to think of things that they were doing that was separating them from God. Think of things that the idols were maybe it's in their case would be video games. In our cases, it would be money, material things, idols, people. And I'm just like, what things have you put in front of God that shouldn't be there? What's in pure inside of here that you need to have a moment with God and just confess and consecrate? And consecrate is like to dedicate all of you, every part of you, surrender every part of you to God. And these kids, and let me just tell you, they sat there for a few moments, several moments, and they just sought after God, pleading and going, God, I'm devoting my life to you to the best of my ability. I'm surrendering these things, and I can just tell you that the Holy Spirit was so present, I didn't even want that moment to end. And then we read this scripture. It says Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So the Ark of the Covenant is that's where the Spirit of God, the presence of God was. And he said to let the Spirit go first. And these priests, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the priest on the front that day because they had to go into a raging river. But they took a step after they consecrated themselves. And what does it say in Scripture? That they stepped on what? Dry ground. There wasn't muddy, soppy ground. God dried it all up. And they walked across without a drop of water on them. And so, as we're talking with the kids and just seeing them just moving, I'm like, okay, God, I know you're going to do something, but I don't know what. Next morning, I'm like, well, we got to go to church because that's what you do Sunday. Got to take the youth kids to church because I can't get bad report from the parents. You didn't take my kids to church. Get up really early, look for churches. We can't find any churches. It's not like West Michigan. There's not a church on every corner. And I asked the lady up front, I says, where's the closest church? And she's like, 45 minutes up the road. And I'm like, 45 minutes? We've missed it because the service already started it. Because I didn't have a smartphone, but they had internet. And so we load everybody up in the bus. And there's people going, are we going to church this morning? And it was adults. Are we going to church this morning? Are we going to church this morning? You got to get the kids to church this morning. I'm like, yeah, I understand. We just started driving. I had no clue where we were going to find a church, if we were going to find a church at all. But we're just going, okay, God, just go ahead and go. We'll go. And then we're probably driving 40 minutes or so, maybe even longer. And there's this little dinky sign on the right-hand side, and I just caught it, and Dwayne's driving this big bus, and I'm like, Dwayne, church, left! You know, so it's, you know, the car behind us that was for safety is like almost underneath the bus, and we turn left down this road, and there's this little bitty Methodist sign that we saw, and we're like, okay, and the bus is taking the whole road up. We get to the church. It's all boarded up. But then everybody's like, oh, here we go. Dwayne's looking at me, what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden there's this little dinky sign that says, New Church. It's literally, it's about this big. New Church that way, arrow. That's it. We don't see a church. We don't see anything. Dwayne's driving big, huge bus, looking at me. Are you sure? Yep, that way. So we go down this road, and all of a sudden it says dead end. And Dwayne goes, if I go all the way down here, I'm going to have to back this huge thing all the way back up. And he wasn't really excited about it, but I'm like, oh, come on, Dwayne, just go ahead. We get past these pine trees, and then, whoa, there's a church. And the end cul-de-sac, he could turn the bus right around. It was awesome. It's like God goes, that's what they need. That's what we got. We find out this church is starting. I mean, like 5 minutes. Picture 40-some people booking out of a bus, adults included, kind of invading this church. And the church was actually, we doubled the size of the church. And what was so amazing that we didn't know what was happening is people were leaving the church to go to their homes to get food for us so that way they could provide a lunch for 40-some people. I never once told that church that we needed money because I thought, small church, don't want to put a burden. They're already giving us a lunch. Don't tell that part of your story. Don't even let the adults know. Lady comes up to me while we're eating, and I'm already overwhelmed because figure the cost of feeding 40-some people. She hands me a wad of money. It covered our whole trip. I broke down and was just crying because God met the need. God provided a way when I didn't think there was a way, and I shared this with the adults and kids, and many of the kids were in tears too, because they got to see God move. And it was all because they did something. They dedicated their lives in that moment to seeing God do something grand and something awesome. And the bonus was, these people also worked for the world's finest chocolate. So we got cases of broken chocolate. So we didn't even put a dent in it. There was so much of it. But the kids saw it, and Joshua had another time, and he was getting ready to go against the enemies because there's enemies in the land. God had already tore the walls down in Jericho, gave them great victory. And then what happened after that is eventually you had somebody steal something that was dedicated to the Lord. And God's like going, somebody has something that's dedicated to the Lord. And until they give it back, until they rededicate it to me, I'm not doing anything. And you know what's dedicated to the Lord? We're supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And there's a lot of us that are just holding back. And he goes, I want to move in your life, but you got to dedicate everything to me. And Joshua came before the people again, and he said this. So consecrate the people. Tell them to consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. It's like, and I happened to open up Romans and this morning, and it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present everything of who we are to God. So I thought, this is what God wants to do this morning. He wants us just to take a moment where you consecrate yourself, you dedicate yourself to Him. You know, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's rough. But you just say, God, I'm surrendering this to you. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's you're involved in sin that is just, it's got a hold on you. And God's going, just give it to me. Just surrender it all. And so I just want to take a moment where we just say, God, we want you. We want to see you move, so here I am. Here's all these things. All these things I've put before you. However you want to word it. But let's just have a moment where we just do that, okay? Just join me. And you talk to God personally. Almighty Father, we just give you our lives. May they be a living sacrifice that brings you glory here. We surrender all these barriers and all these things that we hold on to that are keeping us from experiencing you and seeing you move in great and mysterious ways. And God, we just surrender it all to you, and we dedicate this church to you. We ask, Lord, that this church would be a place that people can just feel the presence of your Spirit, and they can come here and they can be loved, and they can feel that they are loved by this incredible God who has moved on our behalf. God, I would just ask that you help us to learn how to surrender, learn how to give up all of ourselves. And God, with great expectation, we long to see you move. God, we're diving into the deep end. It's into the unknown. And we want to see the glorious things that you have in store. And help us, Lord, to be okay with it. Help us to be bold. Help us to be brave. Help us to be completely surrendered to your leading. And we just thank you, God, that you are a God that is still moving, still in control. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing that struck me as we've been looking at the Holy Spirit is that Jesus himself was dependent on the Holy Spirit. Really? Yeah. Yes, he came in as a human, fully divine, but he set aside, as it says, he set aside kind of like the power, if you will, to say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this because I am God and I can do all this. Instead, what he did is he surrendered that and he relied on the Holy Spirit. Every part of his ministry was Spirit-led. So as followers, what are we doing trying to live this life without the Spirit? Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit for the miracles, for direction, for comfort, surrendering. I mean, do you remember when Jesus was in the garden? And he's going before the Father in Gethsemane, and he's just crying out, saying, God, this cup is too big for me. I don't want to die. God, what I'm seeing, this pain that's set before me, the path is overwhelming me. Is there another way, God? Please, if there is, do it. And the Holy Spirit gives him strength in that moment to keep coming back to God and to the point where he surrenders his will. And he surrenders his will and he goes, not my will, but your will be done. And in his surrender, it led him to death. Death on a cross for us. And what's amazing is in Scripture, it talks about us dying to ourself and being born again. Jesus kind of talks about this, and this is, when I say born again, I just want to explore that just a little bit this morning with the rest of the service, as Jesus is having this conversation where he's talking about, this is how we interact with God now. Because we were dead, because all of us are sinners, but because of us surrendering and accepting who Jesus is and what he's done on the cross, all of a sudden we've been born again into this new life. And it's a life that is better than we can imagine. That Jesus said that he's came to give us a life and to give it abundantly. Meaning it's a life that you can't even dream of here and now. Not just eternity, but here and now, experiencing God. And you have this teacher of the law that is kind of lost and trying to figure this out. And Jesus is like trying to have this conversation with him, getting to understand it. And it's like, and he's like going, now you are a teacher, you're a Pharisee, you know these things of the Old Testament. Remember in Ezekiel that we covered last week, it's like he's kind of pointing a little bit back towards Ezekiel where it says in chapter 36, 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And what water is usually associated with being cleansed. It's a purification. And God says, I'm going to purify the believers. I'm going to do this. And then when I purify them, I'm going to make them a temple. And I'm going to make a temple where I take out their heart of stone. And how do we get a heart of stone? We get a heart of stone because of we have things that are before God. We sin. We don't listen to where the Holy Spirit's going. And we ignore it. And our hearts become stone. And God says, I'm going to rip that out. I'm going to put in a heart of flesh, one that's pliable, so I'm bringing you to life again, and then I'm going to put my Spirit in you. And look what he says, I will give you a new heart and put in a new Spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Be careful to keep my laws. So God says, I'm going to do this. And the Old Testament people would have known this. Nicodemus would have known this. God was going to do something new. And Nicodemus is watching Jesus from afar. And then eventually he gets the courage to come up to Jesus. And it starts out in verse 1 in John chapter 3. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. In other words, he was somebody that knew the law. He is somebody that knew the Old Testament. He was somebody that counseled other people. In fact, they would look at themselves as a little bit better than other people because they knew so much. And so he's a leader. And it says he came to Jesus at night. Now, a lot of people make a big deal about why he came at night. Some say because he's ashamed. I'm not going to make anything. He just says he came at night. I don't know what it means. It means that he came at night. And said, Rabbi, which is amazing because he's saying that Jesus is a teacher. Because a rabbi is a teacher. So he's going, teacher. He says, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In other words, Jesus, we've been watching you. And the miracles you have been doing can only be done because God's in you. We saw you boating across the water without a boat. We saw you take a Lunchable with fish and feed the thousands. That can only happen from God. We saw these things. So we know you're from God. And this is what he's doing. He's looking for eternal life. He wants to know, how do you get eternal life? How do you get into a relationship with God? And then Jesus says, in reply, Jesus declares, "I tell you the truth." And that's an important phrase, because anytime Jesus speaks, he speaks truth. And it's absolute truth. And he says, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." So you hear us talking about being born again. Well, all of a sudden Jesus is like going, you got to be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus is like, what? He's not thinking like I've explained some stuff. He's going, I'm using my intellect. How can a man be born when he's old? Because Nicodemus is an old man. Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. I mean, Nicodemus is like, one, that would be terrifying. Two, I'm not going to call up my mom and go, Mom, I know you gave birth to me once, but you got to try it again. It didn't work the first time. The mom would probably hang up and go, no way. Sorry, Nicky. Done. Did it once. So Nicodemus is like looking at this physical thing. And then Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of controversy with this word water. We know what Spirit is. We know that being birthed of the Spirit is when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Spirit brings new life into you. But some people wonder about the water, and there's two different things. And I've wrestled with this, trying to figure it out myself. And some people would say that the water means that being born of flesh, meaning when a mother gets ready to give birth, what happens? The water breaks, right? So you're born of water. Okay, I can understand that. But other people say that this is talking about baptism. Being baptized in the water, being cleansed in the water, and I'm leaning in that direction. But we don't. If we disagree, no big deal, because I'm not going to go to the cross on this. Okay, meaning this is not about a salvation thing. But John the Baptist, if you remember, all the stories before this are about John the Baptist preparing the way. And what is John the Baptist doing? He has a ministry of repentance. He's telling people to repent and meaning to turn away. You're going this direction. And it's in like in one follow swoop, you're switching opposite directions, and now you're going in another. There's no hesitation, and you're moving towards God. And John the Baptist has this ministry where he's going out, I want you to repent. I want you to confess your sins. And then be baptized. And there was complete immersion where they would baptize you all the way under, hold you until there's no bubbles, okay? And then you would be kind of come back up. And what they were being baptized in, and John said it was into his teachings. They were agreeing with his teachings. And they were being baptized by this water. And what did Peter say? That we have to repent, right? Be baptized, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, John then goes, I baptize with water, but Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And being baptized in the Spirit is becoming spiritually alive to God, where you are completely saturated with the Holy Spirit. Just like when you go underwater with water baptism, it's like you went underwater in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, meaning you're completely immersed and filled and surrounded with the Holy Spirit once you've come alive to God by accepting Christ. So when I read these, it's just like, okay, I'm not going to get too hung up on, because they lead to the same thing, is that we're to be born again. We're to have a spiritual birth. And Jesus says you can't come into the kingdom of heaven as a flesh and bodily person. You come as a spiritual person, where you're alive because of what he's done on the cross. you're alive and you've died and you've rose with him in the resurrection. And that same spirit that rose Christ from the dead has been now placed in you to live this new life, to be born again. So you have him going, okay, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And then he goes, you should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So as it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So what Jesus is saying is that God is sovereign. The way that God moves is the way that God moves. Nobody can tell him how to move. He's moving in every direction. In fact, he's moved in many of your lives. You came to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is because the Holy Spirit was already blowing into your life. And he began to speak truth into your life. And then your spirit came awake because of the spirit that was working inside of you. And you responded by accepting Christ. And so you didn't do the work to do it. It's not like you had an epiphany. It was the Spirit of God working and blowing into the lives already. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's blowing in directions. And wherever he blows, he's changing lives and he's moving. You know, one of the images that came to mind is you know, a sailing is one of those things. And I got a picture of this sailboat here. And this sailboat, what's the problem with this sailboat? There's no wind, right? What happens when you don't have any wind? You're stagnant. You're stuck. He's not going to go very far. But when the Holy Spirit blows, fills the sails, and then all of a sudden there's movement. And what we're doing is we're just saying, God, we want you to blow. Bring new life into these bones. Blow across the bows of our life and get us unstuck. Get us going where you're going. And Jesus says, this is a good place to be. Surrender to the Holy Spirit, being born again and recognizing how awesome all this is. Even though it's beyond our comprehension, a little hard to understand, it's incredible, it's awesome, and we respond to it. And the Holy Spirit begins to blow and move across people's life. And I really believe what God wants is he wants revival. He wants to move in and sweep us off our feet so we fall in love with him again. And we're surrendered. And we're not stuck within our little boxes and our little walls. But we're going on a journey. Do we know where it leads? No, because the Spirit is guiding. The Spirit leads to wherever he's going to go. And then Jesus begins to kind of talk to this Pharisee in the next verses, and it's incredible. He says the Nicodemus is a little bit overwhelmed. How can this be? And then Jesus kind of chastises him a little bit. He's like going in verse 10. He says, "You are Israel's teachers," Jesus said, "and you don't understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and what we testify to, what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." That's Jesus, God. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." What he's talking about, he's going to be lifted up on a cross. And people are going to have to look to the cross. Just like in the Old Testament, when people were, their lives were being lost because they rebelled against God and snakes were coming in. And then God told them to fashion this thing that looked like snakes and hold it up. And now tell everybody to look on it. They will be saved. And this is what Jesus is saying. Look upon the cross. Look upon me and you'll be saved. And then he says that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Those are so important. Everybody thinks that God is about condemnation. He came to administer grace to bring new life. Because he loves the world. So the question I have for you this morning is, have you had a moment where you've just surrendered and you really believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Have you had a moment where you've had a new birth and you've allowed the Spirit to saturate you because you've surrendered everything of who you are? And you put your faith in the cross. You put your faith in Christ and what he's done. You believe wholeheartedly that he is the resurrected one who came to take away your sins. Have you had that moment? If you haven't, Jesus is saying, I want to blow across the boughs of your life and bring life to you. For those of you, maybe you've been in faith for a long time and you've been stuck. He's saying, I want to blow into your lives, and I want to bring the life that I've always promised, where you can experience the kingdom of heaven here and now because of my son. Would you let me blow into your life? Would you surrender it again? So if you haven't surrendered, then take a moment and surrender to Christ this morning. This morning we're going to sing the song, Holy Spirit. We're going to close with that, and I would just ask that you would just that you'd sing it as a prayer. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in here. Come in, consume me. Heavenly Father, we just come in before you, and we are so grateful that you are a God that is so alive, so wanting us to experience this life that you have in store for us. God, give us the courage to jump into the deep end so we can see the wonders and the mysteries that you have for us. God, we just want to say we surrender to your Spirit. Lead us, guide us, and blow into our lives and fill us full. And take us on a journey that's led by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.